last word on business on Today FM.
With Capital Flow, purchasing, refinancing or refurbishing an investment property, visit capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider joins us for the business news. Now, Ian, too much money chasing too few assets has sent many prices of all sorts of asset classes roaring ahead over the last year, particularly stock markets. But are there signs today that that could be coming to an end?
Evening, Matt. I think it's a wobble rather than a crash. If you look at stock markets across Europe, they closed down about 2.5%, 3.2% here in Dublin. And in New York, the major stock markets down again by 2.5%. If you were to look at any of the big financial news websites, you'll see headlines saying Dow Jones down 900 points. Again, it sounds a big number, but it is a drop of around 2.5%. Now, why on a sunny evening would you be worried about stock markets? They're a reflection of what goes on in the real economy. And there are concerns that as cases of COVID-19 due to the Delta variant spike around the world, it's happening not just across the water in the UK or here in Ireland, but it is happening in the US and elsewhere in the world. A lot of people feel that the economic recovery, which had been expected in the second half of this year as the vaccine rolls out, may be upset a little bit. There's no hard economic data to say that there's anything wrong with the recovery. It's just a lot of fear out there. And truth be told, Matt, any of the figures we've seen of economic data, if it matter whether it's consumer confidence, whether it is job numbers, it hasn't been great. It's not bad in the context of what's happening. It just hasn't been great. And you get the sense, given the run-up that we've had, as you said, over the past year, people are looking at a way of maybe taking a little bit of risk off the table.
Okay. Now, Ulster Bank apparently is about to sell most of its business to Permanent TSB, but not its current accounts. Why not?
Yeah, really interesting story in the Sunday Times yesterday by Brian Carey, saying that a memorandum of understanding between Permanent TSB, which is three quarters owned by Irish taxpayers, would acquire most of the Ulster Bank business in Ireland, including loan books of around 9 billion euro, around 20 of the bank's branches, some of its deposits and its workforce, but none of its current accounts. Now, this is where this story will be of real interest to people who are customers of Ulster Bank, because there are around 1 million Ulster Bank current account customers. And anybody who has switched a bank account in Ireland will know how difficult and all time consuming it does take. We do have a consumer switching code, but if you're looking at transferring over up to 1 million current accounts, there will be people that will move independent of this. But if you're looking at the volume of people that may have to be moved over, it is quite the extensive task. And I do understand that there have been efforts since the decision last year by NatWest Markets to put Ulster Bank up for sale or to consider winding it down, that there have been moves to say, look, could there be some sort of formal thing that the central bank might be involved in? And there just doesn't seem to be any way to have a mass migration of accounts. So when this deal is announced, and the Sunday Times say it will happen in the next couple of weeks, it will trigger the process that it could take a year for this to happen, and that customers will have to move on their own to find a new current account provider. And as I said, if you switch to mobile phone, it's quite easy. It can be done in an hour or so. If you're going to switch bank accounts, and particularly a current account, given all the electronic payments and debits people have these days, it is not the easiest task in the world, and a real failure of the system to put in place somehow that people could do this in one go.
Tell us about the new curbs on the interest rates that money lenders can charge.
Yeah, legislation being published by Pascal Donoghue, the finance minister today, an amendment to the 2011 Consumer Credit Act, and it's putting a rate cap on money lenders. So if you're borrowing up to 1 year from a money lender, a 1% per week interest rate cap, which would be a 48% annual interest rate, which is not exactly the cheapest thing you could find out there. And also, if you're somebody who's borrowing on an ongoing basis, the interest rate will be capped at 2.8%. Now, what they are also doing in this act is looking at ways to ensure people try and move away from unlicensed money lenders. So there are people out there who are regulated by the central bank. They will go from being called a licensed money lender to a high-cost credit provider, and that is to give them some respectability so that people don't end up going to an unlicensed money lender. I think an interesting figure put out by the government when announcing this changes today was that there were 313,000 people in 2018 who went to one of these providers. Matt, again, it's a bit of a failure of the system that we have so many people who are locked out of standard
banking. It's an enormous number.
It is. And obviously, look, Matt, the economic recovery of the last few years hasn't benefited everybody. There's an awful lot of people in temporary jobs, part-time work and low-paid work. But you would have to think it is something that we should look at, is to move people away from these. Oh, that's, the cost of this credit is enormous. Like, an annual rate being capped at 48% APR is not great. Is there a way of moving people into more standard financial, either credit unions or post offices or basic bank accounts, so that they are not going to either licensed high-cost credit providers or worse, unlicensed money lenders?
Okay. Now, the government has faced a bit of criticism, including from you, Ian, about its decision not yet to agree to the new international corporate tax rates been provoked by or been suggested by the OECD. But perhaps that caution has been actually shown to be wise, given a story that was in the Business Post yesterday, because this 15% rate is not set in stone.
Yeah, and we've been talking about it as if this is written on a tablet and sent down from on high. So the Business Post have picked up on comments that the head of tax at the OECD, a guy called Pascal Saint-Amans, who is the person who is driving this global process to have a minimum rate of 15% and also making sure that companies pay tax in the countries where they sell their products. He is making the point on a podcast, Matt, that the work is nearly complete. All that has to be done is to set this rate. And while everybody is assuming that the figure talked about is 15%, he is saying on this podcast that, well, perhaps it could be slightly higher. Now, you have pointed out, I've been one of the biggest critics of the Irish government policy around corporation taxation the last number of months. Perhaps they're right to be a little bit wary of this change. If it's not set in stone at 15%, what will it be locked in at? I still think, Matt, that's no reason why we should be in the company we're keeping and opposing this.
Okay, and one final one. We're Olympics starting this week, but a lot of people in Japan are not happy that it's going ahead. And that seems to have influenced one of its biggest companies, one of its best known in the world, Toyota, to take a certain action.
Yes, certainly the backlash here being seen even before the opening ceremony. And Toyota are one of the main sponsors of the Olympics. Of course, it's a Japanese car company, and it has reportedly put in around $1 billion to sponsor the Olympics in Tokyo. And it's decided that it will not run any advertising around the Olympic Games. A spokesman for Toyota said today that there are too many issues around the Games that are posing difficulties for people to understand, i.e. there's an awful lot of people don't want the Olympics in Tokyo right now, and Toyota certainly doesn't want its brand associated with any backlash if there are any more cases or if there are any postponements of any of the Games over the next couple of weeks. And you would imagine for the organizing committee to have the main sponsor say we don't want to be actually associated with the Games a few days before they start is a little bit of a slap in the face.
Thank you very much for being with us, Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.